Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's episode is presented by Shane Kennedy, the youth minister at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ. Let's tune in now for Shane's message.
Well, I know I say this every year, but I really do mean it. This senior class is a very special class to me. They're ones that I have enjoyed so much, them being a part of our youth group, and it's been a blessing to be your youth minister. It's awesome to have had a front row seat in many ways, to just watch you grow into the person that you are and grow in your faith. And as I think of you guys, there's just so many memories that flood into my mind of different experiences we've got to share together, whether it be camps we've gone on or mission trips or retreats or just our youth group times together. Got to share so many good memories with you guys. So thank y'all for letting me be a part of your life. Thank you for the ways that you've been involved and poured into our youth ministry. You have definitely been a blessing to me and a blessing to our youth group. I also want to say thank you to the parents of our seniors as well. These seniors come from awesome families that have been a real blessing to our church. But thank you for raising these great young men. Thank you for instilling in them a love for Jesus and a desire to want to follow him in their lives. And thank you for all the ways that you have poured into our youth ministry. Several of y'all have gone with us on mission trips or retreats. You've taught in our youth ministry. You've served as youth small group leaders. Some of you have hosted the youth group in your home. So thank you for not just caring about your kid, but caring for the other teens in our youth ministry as well. Y'all are really special to me and to our church. But not only do I want to express our love for the seniors and celebrate them this morning, but I also want to give them some encouragement from God's Word. And one passage that contains, I think, some really great wisdom I think you can benefit from is Psalm 119. And so that's going to be our focus this morning, is Psalm 119. We're not sure who wrote it. The author's anonymous. Some have suggested maybe it was Ezra the priest, whenever the people returned from exile and rebuilt the temple, that maybe he wrote this psalm as part of that occasion. Others have suggested that possibly David, as David wrote many of the psalms, and maybe he didn't write it all in one sitting, but maybe he wrote it over the course of his life. The Psalm 119, what it's probably best known for, is being the longest chapter in the Bible. And so it would only be appropriate that you will receive the longest sermon this morning. Just kidding, had to get a preacher joke in there. One unique feature of Psalm 119 is that it is written as an acrostic poem using the entire Hebrew alphabet. So in the psalm, there's 22 different stanzas, and each stanza has 8 lines. And so for each stanza, those 8 lines will start with the same Hebrew letter, starting with the first one and going all the way through the Hebrew alphabet. You may, if you're looking at it in your Bible, you'd be like, well, they don't start with the same letter. Well, that's because it's now been translated into English for us, since probably most of us don't read Hebrew. But if you were able to read Hebrew, you would be able to see that it is an acrostic using the entire Hebrew alphabet. And the focus for the whole psalm is just how good God's word is and how useful it is to our lives. So whoever wrote the psalm, whether it was Ezra or David or someone else, they obviously put a lot of time and a lot of effort into structuring it in this very unique way. So why did they choose to write this psalm talking about the goodness of God's word as an acrostic using the whole Hebrew alphabet? Perhaps one reason was that would make it easier to memorize. At that time and in that culture, not everyone would have a personal copy of Scripture the way that we do today. It was well before the time of the printing press. Many people would even have been illiterate and not able to read for themselves. So Scripture was often memorized and passed along orally. So this repetitive structure would lend to easier memorization. Another reason why the author may have written Psalm 119 as this acrostic poem using the whole Hebrew alphabet was to communicate that trusting and depending on God's word is just as foundational as learning your alphabet. You know, as education has changed over the years, one thing that hasn't changed, you still start with your ABCs. My son is in preschool now, and he spent the whole year learning his letters and learning their sounds because the ABCs is foundational to learning to read and learning to write and learning anything. So perhaps the author of this psalm is trying to communicate that the foundation of our lives or for our lives is depending on God and trusting in his word. So I believe Psalm 119 has some foundational wisdom for you seniors and for all of us that could benefit our lives that I think we need to hear this morning. And obviously, I don't have time to go through every verse of Psalm 119 since it is the longest chapter, but I do want to focus on some key lessons, some key themes that are highlighted in this psalm that I think will be helpful to us this morning. So the first lesson from Psalm 119 that I want to pass along to you this morning can be found in verses 9 and 10. And these are some of the most well-known words in this psalm. Christian read these just a moment ago. But Psalm 119, verses 9 to 10, starts with a question. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. So the writer of the psalm asks a question that he then provides an answer for. And it's a pretty important question. It's how can a young person stay on the path of purity? And it specifically says a young person, but this is truth that no matter what your age is, this can benefit you. But if you can learn it when you are young, it can help set the course or the foundation for the rest of your life. Another way to word this question is, how can I live a good life? How can I live a good, righteous, and meaningful life? I think, isn't that what we all want? Like, we want to live good lives. We want to follow the right path. Especially you seniors, you're choosing your path ahead, and you're making choices about education and career and your future. You want to choose paths that lead to a good life. And so the writer of the psalm, he doesn't just ask the question, but he provides an answer of how do we live this good, righteous, and meaningful life. And he says it's by living according to God's word, by seeking God with all your heart and not straying from his commands. So the first foundational lesson I want you all to hear from Psalm 119 is that you need to find your direction from God. Let God set the path for your life. Follow his leading. Throughout Psalm 119, it uses this path language, talking about life as this journey and God and his word being our guide. Another well-known verse from Psalm 119 is verse 105 that communicates this idea. That your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. We sing a song with that verse. So as we make choices about the direction of our lives, God's word can help illuminate our path and show us what is true and good and right and gives us direction. If you've ever been hiking before, you know that it's important to stay on the path, that it can be a dangerous thing if you lose the path, or if you wander, you could end up on more dangerous terrain. You could get lost and not be able to find your way back. Whenever I was a youth minister in Vernon, I took my students on a day hiking trip in the Wichita Mountains. And we were going up this one trail that led to this really cool rock formation at the top. I think they called it the castle. And we were going to go check that out. And some of the students had gotten ahead of me. And I'd warned them, don't get too far ahead of me. Stay with me, stay where I can see you, but they don't always listen. And so they had got further ahead of me on the trail, and it really got time to where we needed to turn around. So I yelled to them up ahead on the trail, I said, guys, y'all need to come back. It's time for us to leave. And so they come back down the trail, and when they come back, I realized there's a student that was with them that's now missing. There was a kid named Trevor that was a part of my group, and Trevor is gone. So I asked him, where's Trevor? And apparently this group that had gone up ahead had split into two groups at one point and gone different directions, and both groups thought the other group had Trevor. So there's one of those moments of, well, I thought he was with you. I thought he was just with you. So Trevor is now gone. He's missing. So we all start yelling, calling out, Trevor, Trevor. And I guess wherever he is, he can't hear us. And at first, I was not that nervous. I thought, he can't have strayed that far. He's got to be close. We're going to be able to find him. But as time went on, I became more and more nervous. Probably 30 minutes passed, and that may not seem like a long time, but it was a long time when you're missing a kid, and we still cannot find Trevor. You know, I was getting pretty scared at this point. I was thinking, am I going to have to call search and rescue to come and find him? I was also thinking, like, if you lose a kid on a trip, do you lose your job? Like, there's a good chance maybe that you lose your job over this. So I was pretty nervous about that. At that point, we look down at the road, down the trail, down the mountain, and we see a tiny little figure running to our church van. And I realize, that's Trevor. We found him. He got down the hill fast somehow, but he's running to the church van. I'm like, oh, good. He's going to get to the van, and he's going to know I can stay here, and we're going to come back to the van, and everything will be good. Well, he gets to the van, and then we see a turn around and start running back up the mountain, and we're all yelling, Trevor, no, stay, Trevor. But he's running back up the mountain. I was like, oh, no, he's going to get lost again. So I put an adult that I had with me in charge of the group, and I took one of my fastest kids, and I say, we're running down this mountain, and we're going to go get Trevor. So we start running down, and we're actually luckily able to find Trevor before he gets lost again. And he's all beat up and scratched up. He had been going through brush and everything. And I asked him, Trevor, what happened? How did you get lost? And it was two things: that he got separated from the group, and he lost his path. It can be a dangerous and scary thing to lose your path. When you're hiking, it can be scary and dangerous in life. When we lose our path, it can be a dangerous thing. But we believe there is a path that is good and that leads to life. And we believe that is Jesus. Another verse I can't help but think of as we talk about this path language is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Maybe some of you have this one memorized. This is a great one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So seniors, as you move forward on your path, seek God's direction for your life. Lean on his word. Let him set the path for your lives, because his path is good and it leads to life. And probably you are going to have moments in life where you may wander a little. You're going to have moments where you may stray, where you may get away from the path. You may be a little bit like Trevor. But thankfully, we do have a good shepherd that even when we run to wander from the path, he's one who still pursues us, that comes, finds us, and invites us back to him. So you can always turn back to him no matter how far you've strayed from the path. So let God find your direction in him. The second lesson I want to teach you this morning comes from verses 36 and 37 of Psalm 119. 119, 36, and 37 say, turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. So the second lesson that I want you to take away from Psalm 119 this morning is to pursue true worth. Pursue true worth. The psalmist asked God in prayer to turn his eyes away from worthless things or from selfish gain, and rather focus his eyes on things that really do matter. Do we ever get confused in life on what is truly valuable and of worth? You know, one of my most valuable possessions for a long part of my life was my DVD collection. I was very proud of my collection of movies. I really love movies, and I wanted to have a respectable movie collection. And whenever I got my first apartment out of college, I bought myself a shelf where my DVDs could be that I had in my living room so people could see when they come to my house my DVDs. And I took pride in this, that whoever can come to my house would see these movies and they'd marvel at my movie collection, at my DVD collection. I thought my DVD collection was of great value. Do any of y'all want to guess where my DVD collection is now? It may be where it is in your house, maybe. Right now, it's still in my house, but it's in a closet in a corner, collecting dust. And maybe once a year, maybe we'll pull a DVD out and watch it, because we don't need those anymore. That we have streaming for movies. Maybe a lot of y'all have DVDs or even VHSs sitting around somewhere at your house. But what I once thought was extremely valuable is not so valuable anymore, has lost its value. You know, sometimes in life, we can get confused over what is truly valuable or of worth. I think part of our confusion comes from the mixed messages that our world sends us. That sometimes the world tries to tell us that certain things are of great value and they're worth chasing after and they're worth pursuing, but really they're not that valuable. The world tries to tell us that certain things will bring fulfillment or meaning to your life when really they just leave you empty. These are things like the pursuit of money or academic or career success, popularity or fame, or living life for your enjoyment or your pleasure. You can fill in the blank of the things that the world says are most valuable. And some of these things aren't necessarily bad. Some of these things we still pursue in ways. But if they become your main pursuit, if they become the thing that you put your most hope in, then ultimately they're going to let you down because they're not the thing that's of true worth. There's a quote from a Christian author, Francis Chan, and I think he actually borrowed this quote from someone else. But it says, "Our greatest fear should not be a failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter." So be careful that your attention is not captured by worthless things, but pursue the one thing that is truly of worth, and that is Jesus. He's the only one that can truly satisfy. He's the only one that can truly bring fulfillment and meaning to our lives. He's the only one that can truly heal us and make us whole. It's in him that we find true life and life eternal. So pursue true worth. All right, another lesson from Psalm 119 comes from verse 76. Psalm 119, 76 says, "May your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise to your servant." I loved Landon's prayer earlier, focusing on God's unfailing love. Man, I want you to get that this morning. That's my next lesson, is cling to God's unfailing love. Cling to God's unfailing love. In this next stage of life, guys, I hope you experience so many great relationships. I hope you make great friends that give you support and bring joy to your life. I hope you have great mentors, people that pour into you and help guide you and give you direction and help you grow. I hope you get plugged into a great church family, a great campus ministry wherever you go. If it's God's plan for you, I hope he sends you an amazing spouse that you can share life with. And it makes you a better person. These kinds of relationships are great and are a blessing to our lives, but I hope you don't miss the most important one. So guys, my greatest prayer for your life is that you may experience and know more and more the love that God has for you, that he has a love that is unfailing, that he will never disappoint us, that his perfect love is the one thing that can truly satisfy the deepest needs of our hearts. Every other relationship in our life is just a mere shadow of God's great love for us. So I hope that your life can be completely shaped by his love. Let it be a comfort for you in difficult times. Let it bring you joy and hope in all times. And let every other relationship in your life be shaped by his love, that you now live as a reflection of his great love that he has for you. All right, I want to give you one more life lesson from Psalm 119. And as I read through Psalm 119, this is one of my favorite verses that as I read across it, I really loved it. It's in verse 54, Psalm 119, 54. It says, "Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge." Your decrees are the theme of my song wherever I lodge. My wife has created music playlists for each of my children that we call their soundtracks. And so anytime that they hear a song that they really like, they say, "Mom, can you put that on my soundtrack?" So Dean has a soundtrack and Kenna has a soundtrack. And I don't get to listen to any music that I want to listen to anymore. I am only listening to my children's music anymore, so I don't get a soundtrack. But Dean and Kenna got a soundtrack. And we had several months in our life where the only song that was stuck in my head and I heard over and over again was, "We Don't Talk About Bruno, no, no." If you don't know what that is, you probably don't have children then. But yeah, they both have their soundtracks. I love this verse because the writer of the psalm says that God's word has become his soundtrack. Or let me frame it this way for you guys. Here's your lesson. Let Jesus be your theme song. If your life were a song and your everyday actions and conversations and habits made up the verses, what would your song be about? I hope that, like the writer of the psalm, that your song can be about God, that your song can be about the love of Jesus, that you can glorify him by the way that you live, and you can point others to Jesus by the way that you live. It reminds me of the song we sang earlier in service, "Christ Be All Around Me." The lines, "Above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me, Christ be all around me." That's one you want to add to your soundtrack. But yeah, let Jesus be your theme song. Well, I love you guys so much. I'm so thankful for y'all. I'm proud of y'all and the young men that you've become. And I'm excited to see what God has in store for you next.